We're doing Brachot, we're up to Yutitam and the bit, the top of the page, the two debts. Tanu Rabbanan. Shura roa pnima ptura v'sheina roa pnima chayevet. The row that can see into the inside the circle, so to speak, meaning they'd have rows that were passing by the person who's in mourning, and the rows would go in a zigzag until you reach the guy who's mourning and you pass him. So you figure you have this ten Z's, one on top of the other, and the rows are going in zigzag till you hit the guy in mourning, and you pass him, and you give him comfort. And this is what they do. They'd have these rows that would pass the mourner or the mourners and give them comfort as they leave the cemetery. So that's a mitzvah to give comfort. You can't read Shema as you're about to give comfort. So the Braisa says, okay, let's say they started the funeral procession before you got to read Shema. Now you want to read Shema. So we say the following. If you're in that row which can see the mourners, so then you're pater from Shema. But if you're in an external row, you don't see the mourners, you're not there in the innermost row yet, so then they're chayev to read Shema. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rabbi Mechamat Avel Pturim. Rabbi Yehuda says, those that are coming to honor the deceased, to give comfort to the mourners, they're potter because they're busy with the mitzvah as they're advancing in the row. Mechamat Atzman, but if they didn't come out of any honor, but they just saw a scene and they joined the scene, so if they're already there, they're going to give some words of comfort. So then they're not too important to anyone but themselves. So then they're chayav. They're not busy with a mitzvah. No one needs their comfort. It's nice. They should say the words of comfort. But if they just came to be a part of the crowd, so then that doesn't absolve them from the obligation to read Shema.
It seems like there's two different standards. One standard, the first seems to say that if you're already in the inside part, then you don't have time to read it. And you're outside part, you can read it as you're shuffling along. The second one says that, why wouldn't you hold that stipulation to those who came for the deceased as well?
It's a good question. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
What do you mean by the line that can't see the mourner? Exactly. It's
simple understanding is that there's the innermost line that's about to come and give him comfort.
The one line before the last cross that heads off into the mourner.
So the way you understood what I just said is the way the Taz understands this halacha and Shulchan Aruch. The simple reading is no, that it's the final line. The Taz says no, it's the last cross before the final line, meaning it's the last zig before the zag that hits him, right?
What does the Taz say?
The Taz says like him. The Taz says there's the row that's already facing him.
Right.
And then there's the row before that row that's about to turn into facing him. And that row is the one we're talking about here. That's how the Taz understands this.
Why would it be the row that's in front?
There already might not be enough time for the search.
Yeah, that's like...
the guy might just have to switch lines.
Okay. Am Rav Yehuda, Am Rav. Now we're entering a fantastic sugya, which I had a hard time with since I was a little boy, and as I grow older, I have an easier time with. Yes.
These lines, are they always the same length?
Excellent. I was waiting for you to ask that. I don't know how it worked exactly. I don't know.
It seems like it was very ritualistic. Like they knew everyone, 10 people,
right.
In the army.
Right. It says en shura pchuta me'esir. You need a minimum of 10. Mara says in Sanhedrin, I think.
To be considered a row.
That shura that would do this whole procession.
In all shurot or just
in this? In this here. Yes. Amar v'yuda amarav. Hamotzei kilayim bebigdo. Someone's walking and he realizes that the robe he's wearing has shatnez, biblical prohibition. Poshtan afilu b'shuk. So then he's got to take it off. Every second he's wearing it is a biblical prohibition. And that's what the verse says. My time, or what's the source for this concept? And chokhmah ben tvuna ben etzah l'neged Hashem. When you're comparing with the honor of Hashem, Hashem's mitzvos, then our own wisdom, our own understanding, our own plans, let me get out of this, none of that works when it's contradicting. Kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem and cholkin kavod l'rav. If it's a situation where it's a desecration of Hashem's name, every second he's transgressing a prohibition, so then we don't take into account anyone else's honor. God's honor comes first, and this works very well with the Yerushalmi we saw earlier today from Peah that says Kabedes Hashem Me'onecha, honor Hashem is putting up a mezuzah, wearing nice tzitzis. So then an Aveira has an element of a disrespect towards Hashem, which helps explain why a public Aveira is Chilul Hashem. You could say, hey, I just don't feel like taking it off now. And if everyone knows about it, it's a Chilul Hashem. Because there is an element of Kavod Hashem in every mitzvah that's performed. Fine, I said, if everyone knows. If
okay.
Everyone knows.
But if you don't know, you don't.
And if they don't?
No. You have your own mitzvah. If it's only you, it's Kavod Hashem. If it's you and other people, it's Chilul Hashem. It's an element of Kiddush Hashem versus Chilul Hashem.
10 people?
Yes.
And what if it's your underwear?
Yeah. Right, we're talking about a robe that's where he's wearing no underwear. That's what we're talking about.
Well, isn't that a sin to be all naked in the
street? No. It's immodesty. It's wrong. It's improper.
I mean, there's certain measures to be taken to cover you. Well, ask your neighbor to cover you with the robe.
Where do we learn
immodesty?
You're assuming nothing.
Huh?
Where do we learn immodesty?
You're assuming the opposite.
Technically, it says you can't say Divrei Torah that way. Hashem says, I walk in your camps, and you shouldn't have your private parts revealed in your camps, because I'm there. But, okay, that's when it's feasible.
So, a woman who walks around naked...
A woman is a different point, because we say by a woman, any part that's ordinarily covered is called erva, is like the equivalent of a man's private part, because it's all causing other people to be attracted.
Okay,
but here we're saying that that's
a
okay.
Sin.
Yeah,
wait, you're saying what would be if it were a woman who found kilayim in her garments, so then... I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know. Got to look into it.
I mean, even so, I would think that you'd be required to ask your neighbor to cover you or something.
Of course.
It's not like...
Fine, but if there's nobody there...
Then this whole situation is a whole... This whole point is that you're in front of a crowd of people who can see.
Yes, you're in front of the Goyish market, right? You're walking by. You have to take off all your clothes.
I feel a bashoot.
Except for your kippah, so they know you're Jewish.
Right.
And it's a right, cool exactly. Sin. Look at this naked guy. He's stripping in front of our women. This is terrible.
Right. So I guess if there's a situation of Chilul Hashem, we'd have to see how we factor that in too, right?
One
of the commentaries have to.
Huh?
One of the Rishonim have to address this. This is pretty.
Okay, fine. Kol makom sheyesh chilul Hashem en cholkim kavod l'rab. So this is considered on some level a desecration of Hashem's name that he's standing there not obeying the mitzvah. So he's saying no, he's going to obey the mitzvah, and then his own honor falls by the wayside. I began this by saying that when I was younger I had a very hard time with this Gemara. You guys remember I did say that.
I remember.
So why is it easier now?
Because the more I've come accustomed to the whole concept that all of life is about Torah, the more I connect with that concept, the more it seems natural to me that I'm going to do what the Torah says and that nothing else is so important to me in life. When I was younger, it was very important to me that I shouldn't stand naked in the marketplace. And today that carries much less weight in my mind. Not that I'm going to go do it, but I'm just saying the whole concept when I was younger was like, it had nothing to do with Torah. It had to do with Netanel Frankenthal doesn't want everyone to, you know, all those dreams when you come to school and you're missing a very important article of clothes because that's like your biggest nightmare. Well, that was the way I was looking at life. And as you grow and you suddenly understand more about life and you suddenly understand that there's nothing to be embarrassed about. There is something to be embarrassed about. Yeah, but the truth isn't there isn't. You know how many times I had to do things that were the equivalent of this because of halachic circumstance or all kinds of things in situations of pikuach nevesh where I had to run out my underwear or something. Okay, to say that, what could I do? It was pikuach nevesh, I had to go do it. And you suddenly realize, wait a second, but I'm doing what's right, so, okay.
Where did you get the strength? If you're so afraid of standing in the market naked, where did you get the strength to do these things for the sake of the Torah?
With time, you suddenly realize, wait a second, what's important in life? What's important is not what everyone's going to think.
Well, wait a second, there's a big difference between
the naked here was actually...
I think I still have a problem with the halacha aspect, not necessarily me standing in the middle of the market. Like, really, the Torah says to take off all your clothes? I'm like, really, it's not even about the embarrassment, it's the halacha.
Torah says, don't, you shouldn't have put it on to begin with. Why were you wearing a garment that had shatnez?
They didn't have a shatnez factory.
No. The Torah says you have to check garments before you wear them. If a person is caught with a garment that he shouldn't have worn, so then every second that he wears it, which I was surprised you guys didn't pounce on that, but I guess that this is the first time you're seeing this Gemara, so yeah, it took me many times learning this Gemara before I was able to swallow it, but okay.
He was sleeping in his
it's like
house.
It's like
his clothes were dirty. He got his friend's shirt now.
And he didn't bother checking where he got his friend got it from. Let me tell you, sweetie.
About
3-4 years ago, I got a donation, $1,000 suit, okay, to this yeshiva, to my gemach. So I had a bunch of suits. One of them was $400, $600, $800, $1,000, very expensive suits. What was the name? I don't even remember, but I can find out. So I got to give them out to the guys. I got them from Jew, right? I look at the suits, and I see these are expensive suits, and I don't see any shatnez check. Now, a guy donates to you a $1,000 suit. You can't call him up and say, hey, buddy, did you have a check for shatnez? That's just not something you can do, right? So I tell the guys who I'm giving the suits to. I say, look, I can give you the suit on the condition you check it for shatnez. You're getting a $1,000 suit, and I'm not going to spend the money checking. Where am I going to have that money from? I'm not charging them for the suits. No, I told them, look, ordinarily suits that you buy for $100, I don't remember the last time anyone found shatnez in them. You take a Hugo Boss suit for $800 made out there in Italy or something, well, then the chances are much higher. You have to check the suit. Ah, you got a $1,000 suit too?
No, okay. I got a fairly expensive suit from a fruit Jew. And you know, whatever. I checked it, had full shyness, and went back. It was ridiculous that the store owner was, the woman who sold it to me was angry because I was taking away her commission. And I told the guy, look, you're selling shyness suits to people, and you're saying that it's not shyness. He pretty much guaranteed me that it wasn't shyness. I told him, look, I have to check it out.
Right.
It was an expensive suit for me, though.
Okay, so this guy spent 150 shekel, removed the shatnez, and had a $1,000 suit. Very good. Good for him. But I'm just saying, so he got it from someone who's a frum Jew who theoretically shouldn't be wearing shatnez. The poor guy had been wearing shatnez for I don't know how much of his life. I don't know how much he wore that suit. That's no excuse he got it from someone.
No, you were sleeping at your friend's house, dirty clothes. You had to go that instant.
So you look at it, you check.
What are you looking at?
I get an aliyah, they give me a talis. The few seconds as I'm putting on the talis, I look to make sure that that tzitzis aren't torn. You have 2 seconds?
I don't know,
you take a quick look.
What shatnez looks like. How are you supposed to take shatnez in something?
Okay.